Hey, it's Arrow at iHeartRadio, unplugged and totally uncut with Nathan East.
Nathan East for Arrow Collins.
Listen to that voice, mister. Holy cow.
Come on.
Wow, man. You have been gifted. Well, man, you don't play the bass guitar. You are the bass guitar. When it comes to what you have done with your career, you are bridging three gaps. You've got three different islands. You've got music, radio, and now a TV show, dude.
Check that out. That's pretty interesting. Well, you know, I mean, it's also a part of the, you know, the evolution of the changing times where, you know, all it used to be was listening. You were just staring at the back of an album cover. And now, you know, you're on your phone, and now, you know, the visual aspect of everything has taken over.
Isn't it kind of interesting, though, that when you write music yourself, that you can see the song, and now it's like people can actually tap into that vision?
That's very interesting, you know, and it's also creatively it's great because, you know, whatever you can kind of imagine to go with the vision, you know, and I guess it's almost like film scoring.
And in that film scoring, do you still get to be in control, or is it one of those where you have to relinquish control?
You know, fortunately, the control is still there, which is a lot of people they trust, you know. And I was just telling the guys the other day, we were doing a session, and we all are in there trusting each other, you know, because you can play anything, you know, but we're trusting that we're all going to come on the same beat at the same time, feeling good, you know. So really, that's what happens when Steven Spielberg calls John Williams, or, you know, he just trusts that, oh, he knows exactly what to do for my vision, you know.
Doesn't that prove that life is jazz?
Life is jazz, you know, and you're constantly improvising. From the moment you wake up, you're making, like Quincy Jones says. He says life is choices too. You're just making a million choices every day, left turn, right turn, you know. And the same musically, I find myself, and it's amazing to me because I'm sitting there playing, and the next bar is about to come up, and I got all these choices: how long to play it, how loud, how soft. You know, if it's going to be the root note, or, you know, am I going to change, shade the color? It's fantastic.
That's why I've always believed that the destination of a great piece of music is really how long does the bass guitar last? Because it's one of those things where you're really actually the man that's holding all the strings, and it's your rhythm that they're tapping into.
You know what? You understand. I've been, from day one, I've been kind of just very, feeling very, you know, special and privileged to have that kind of power in your hands, you know. That, rhythmically and harmonically, the bass is kind of the anchor that glues all those elements together.
Do you think that's because the bass guitar, in its own way, is the hum that you hear while you're inside your mother's womb?
Wow. Now that's getting kind of deep. I mean, I do know that when, you know, when my wife was pregnant with our twins, you know, I used to play right into her, you know, into her stomach, and just see if I could kind of get the party started early, you know.
Because, I mean, look at that rhythm of that heartbeat, and there still has to be sound. And I think sometimes that when we hear, especially jazz, it's almost like that we're going inward to find that peace.
Yeah, I think that's there's a lot of truth to that. Obviously, you know, the studies about the Mozart effect and the classical music have also, you know, lend credibility to, you know, whatever the brain develops. But, you know, music is a study that's lifelong. And for me, it's always been a mystery, just because you're dealing with vibrations. And, you know, having played all over the world, it's amazing. Like, you hit a note and you'll literally see thousands of people in tears crying because of the emotion. And it's like, really? How's that happening? You know?
Do you ever just look out there and just thank you, God.
every day, you know. And I look at it as a privilege and a responsibility, you know, to be a vessel for whatever message that is supposed to come through me, you know, which I think that's a lifetime of figuring that out, you know.
It's almost like a medicine man or a shaman, because aren't you in the heart healing business or even the soul healing business?
Something like that, you know, and I know from times when people have said, you know, I was going through a hard time, I lost somebody, whatever, I sat on my porch and put your music on, and this just, you know, it helped me through. And I think to myself, wow, I had no idea when I was in the studio or whatever I was doing that would have that kind of effect, you know, and you know, you get that every day. And it's just magic to me, you know. And plus, going to countries, you know, they don't speak the language, but they're singing the lyrics to the songs, you know, full voice, you know, just full of passion, you know.
Is it true that a bass guitarist is almost the only one in the performance that can separate sound and be able to reconnect the strings?
You know, it's an effect that we all, I think, do. Guitarists do it with their strings vibrations, piano with their string vibrations, but I think the frequency of the bass affects people at a different level, you know. I mean, it's like they talk about a gut feeling, and I think the bass speaks to the gut, you know, and you know, on that kind of very low, primitive, primal level, the bass is, I think, has the ability to, you know, to penetrate.
I mean, even watching the things that they've put up there with Earthoteric TV, the one thing that's missing is the fact that I think it's a bass guitar that's going to get us through space, because if we take the full orchestra, then it leaves nothing for the imagination to basically get us through that openness.
Right. No, I agree. You know, this thing is so new and fresh, and Mike Myers is, you know, he's been, this has been his baby now, and so we're now at the just getting the party started, you know.
Is it kind of weird that there's a spiritual connection, and you go, like, where have you been all my life? But yet the journey has been, everybody's had to bring their own experiences to the center of the present.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's, again, you know, that's a big, once we leave this atmosphere, it's just so huge out there. It's like, you know, we're just like a nano ant, you know, and so the spirit of it all, to me, is what we have to hang on to and what brings us all together.
How do you keep your imagination so open for new projects and stuff? Because you're right, we're in this generation, I call it the digital platform, that it has taken us to a level where suddenly we're all Picasso.
Right, exactly. Well, it's for me, it's part of you know, we were bound to get here at some point. You know, we were bound to get to the point where we ask the question, why did God create every single person? What was your destiny? What was my destiny? I ask my kids that, you know, and you know, my son Noah, actually, I wasn't 14 years old before I picked up my first bass, but here he is 13, already played on a Grammy nominated album. And, you know, so it seems like, you know, just people have caught on now, you know, and catching up sooner than, you know, when I was 16, I think I saw my first calculator. It had four functions, you know, and now these guys are showing me how to use my iPhone.
You know, the calculator when we were in high school and stuff was that thing where if you turn it around, it spelled words. I mean, we're supposed to do things with it.
Exactly. You know, Pong was the video game, you know, and so it's just fascinating to me that, you know, I can't even imagine what's 10 years going to bring. We're just going to be, you know, a bunch of geniuses, a bunch of very bright people, hopefully trying to take the world forward and make it a better place, you know. And then, you know, contrasting to that is, you know, you look up in these shootings or the, you know, all of these organizations that are designed to try to bring us the end to the end.
This being the moment, always living in the present, we all introduce ourselves to doubt. Do you go through those moments too?
All the time, yeah. All the time. That's those demons in your mind where you know, something was sent, an idea was sent to you, and then next thing you know, like, you start analyzing it. And really, our mission is to do the work and not to judge the work, you know. But, Stevie Wonder, you know, he said he'll wake up, songs will come to him when he's asleep, you know, dreaming. He'll just wake up and put it down, you know.
For a musician who's got music in their heart all the time, how do you set that aside just to get some rest?
You know, you really don't. you just kind of keep going with it. I do meditate. So I'll try to get up first thing and get meditation in, and then the last thing before I go to bed, just to kind of quiet everything that's been going on, because otherwise, you know, there's just so many things firing on in your brain and events and songs, and, you know, just every day you just add more to it. So I try to just kind of clear it out and let it be quiet so that I can kind of listen to that whisper of you know, God tries to speak to you when it's really, really quiet.
Music being no different than NASA, when we travel through music as well as space, aren't we designed to fill space?
Very interesting. I think that's we definitely are, and that's what we're doing at that time. And I got my pilot's license back in 1985, and been an airplane owner for several years. And again, when you leave the earth and you get up, it feels like you're getting closer to God. You know?
Yep. Yep.
And I've always, you know, my father was an aircraft design engineer. We got four aviators in the family, and I think we're just trying to get closer.
Do you believe that, a little bit of Native American spirituality here, are animals talking to us? Because I've always believed that the birds are the true jazz singers, and they hand it to us because they can hear it in the wind, and then they pass it on to the musician.
Fantastic. I couldn't agree more. Their song is being sung, you know, every day. We have a place in Fiji, and we often go down there with the kids, and it almost, you can hear syllables like, right now. I mean, we always laugh because when we hear the birds, it just sounds like they're speaking to us, you know, and definitely singing. And again, you know, that's just completely natural from God.
When you've recorded the music that you have, and I think it's incredible that people have said that you are the most recorded bass guitarist of all time. When you have been a part of so many other people's creations, how do you find peace in your soul where they're enjoying the fame and you're the guy that just played bass guitar?
Well, you know, if you look at it from the side that you were privileged enough to be a part of that historic moment, you know, it really is better than, like, not having been there, you know. So literally, you know, and with those come, you know, so many experiences. I mean, Kenny Loggins, he's a dear friend. He just texted me the other day, and he just said, hey, we haven't seen each other in a while. Come on, we got to keep the friendship tight, you know. And I love the fact that, you know, yeah, we played tours together. We did Footloose and all these records. But for me, the friendship, you know, Eric Clapton and I mean, 30 years plus of being a friend, you know.
you're just somebody who happens to play bass guitar.
And I love to play. I mean, I absolutely love. So, if you know, every call I get, I feel it's a privilege, because you think about it, these guys could call anybody.
Right.
You know, Daft Punk, they had the pick of anybody on the planet to call to do their record. You know, I mean, and they literally, whoever they called said yes. You know, and I was, again, I was going, man, I like these guys, but how do they know me? You know,
I truly believe there would not have been an Uptown Funk if it wasn't for Daft Punk.
I agree. And it really paved the way for, and now it's funny because people are calling me now and they, yeah, we want to get, you know, we want to get feature more playing than just this like computer synth track. You know, we wanted people to realize music, you know, because it brings a light to what we all have been doing forever. And, you know, so a lot of people are calling now and they're using Uptown Funk or Get Lucky as their, they say, yeah, we want that, you know.
Yeah, and everybody's so afraid of saying disco.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I mean, come on, just come out and say it.
Because you know it is.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing is I try not to get too into labeling music or people or, like, you know, labels are more for if you're trying to sell soda or something, you know, you stick it on a... You stick it on a piece of merchandise. But people, you know, even the Grammys, you know, how do you compare Stevie Wonder with Stevie Winwood and say the best song is, you know, they both went into their heart and came up with this great material. And so, you know, I don't think that was meant to be a competitive thing. But, you know, that's where music, you know, people try to say, okay, well, this is jazz, this is gospel, it's R&B, rock and roll. Well, you know, I mean, gospel, look how much music, you know, was a spinoff from gospel or a spinoff from jazz, you know.
Yeah, and I wish somebody from Apple, or even if I would have had the chance to talk with Steve Jobs, that he would have said the iPod was created because it removed the labels.
Exactly, you know. It just put everybody, you know, and so, you know, I was listening to Hendrix and Miles Davis, Earth, Wind and Fire, you know, Rachmaninoff, A to Z, you know, and so a lot of times I have fun because, you know, if I'm getting called and I'm in the middle of a rock and roll situation, I just kind of try to put a little R&B in there, and I kind of try to be a hybrid, you know, where you just kind of mixing it up a little bit.
With all the awards and the long list of performers, what truly is the reward?
Well, the reward is, for me, it's being able to completely live your life in the moment and enjoy it, appreciate it, and be grateful for what that is. And that being fun, and that being enjoyable, and that being making the hair stand up. So for me, you know, that's running and playing music and then listening back and the hair standing up, and it's just an ongoing thing. And that's what I've kind of worked toward, you know, even when I got into this business and started, you know, in 1980, my, you know, official session career in L.A., I was... you know, I didn't want it to be here today, gone tomorrow, you know. So thankfully, 35 years later, you know, I feel like, you know, I'm just, you know, probably one of the most fortunate guys in the world. And at the same time, you know, I have my family, my wife. We just had our 20th anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you very much. And you know, I'm connected. I'm connected spiritually, musically with my kids. And so for me, it's all the senses and all the fibers of my existence are feeling like, hey, you know, you feel like you're on the right track.
And, you know, it's one of those things when you speak that you've been doing it for 35 years, when you know that you're doing what you were born to be doing, you can't measure it.
Right. Exactly.
And that's because another thing. It does fly by. I mean, high school felt like it forever to get through, but yet look at how fast life is going, period.
Right. I know, exactly.
Those darn kids don't get it.
No, I mean, you know, and you wish, you know, everybody has to go through it. But that's the, you know, and again, life is like music. It's the mystery of it is absolutely spiritual and magical. Nowadays, you're measured by, okay, well, how many Instagram followers, you know, and so YouTube hits. But if you think about it, a cat has a million YouTube hits. It's like, and you know, so you, if that's your measurement and now people are getting sucked into buying into that, it's like, wait a second, well, what about, you know, how many breaths you take and how many people you helped, you know? And, you know, it doesn't really matter what those numbers are, because, you know, that's not the measurement.
And yet everything around us is usually created on paper, or it's been on a computer. But if it was created on paper, it's the veins of a living tree just moving forward. And if we can just become a part of that circle.
Absolutely. Because and my father had the world's record in the 50 and 100 yard dash in 1940. He beat Jesse Owens.
Really?
And he made the Olympics, but because of the war, the Olympics were canceled. But it's hard now because there was no YouTube, and so, you know, I do have newspaper clippings but you know, back then, you know, you just had the newspaper, and there was no internet. So I'm trying to go back and find all those records, and I have his trophies and everything. But it's just very interesting, you know, in a short amount of time, here we are with just instant access to everything.
And that's what makes it so much fun, though.
Huge fun. Huge fun. It's exciting, and I'm excited for my kids, because, you know, if they're if they're at this point now, you know, I can't even imagine. You know, I want to live to be 100 so that I can see where they are, you know, when they're 50.
We started by talking about George Harrison. I'd be really weird if I didn't bring up, what was it like to be in the studio with that guy?
Oh, man. Well, first of all, George was one of the nicest guys. And again, it was more about the friendship. I mean, he'd call and he'd come to my house and meditate, you know, in L.A. And I would just sit there, you know, here's George Harrison in my living room, you know, sitting on the floor meditating. And every time I'd go to London, he'd send a car for me and pick me up and go over to the house, and we'd just hang, you know, listen to music, tell stories, have a glass of port, you know, and it was just like, that was the greatest thing about working with him. And then I was, oh yeah, by the way, let's make some music, you know. And we did his last tour of Japan with Clapton. George was a little nervous about touring, but Eric said, hey, listen, I'll help you out. I'll help you with the music. You can use my band, and let's go over there, and it's not so bad, you know. And so George's last tour in Japan, he went out, and it was just amazing to hang out with him. And he'd call. He'd get a call around noon. He'd say, hey, what are you doing? You want to have lunch? And then I got the Ayurveda massage people up here, you know, where they do like a stereo massage and pour hot oil on your forehead. It was incredible, you know. So the total experience was absolutely amazing, and I miss him dearly.
Straight to my arms you will run. And when you come, my heart will be waiting. Make sure you never I mean,
It's so fascinating that you've experienced so much, and yet I feel like that I should say, you need to pick up a Mont Blanc and connect the dots, sir, because all of your paths are connecting so many dots, and it could disappear. We talked about that, but yet you haven't written it down yet.
Well, funny you should say that is because I'm working on a book as well. I think I've met my soulmate.
With you, my love.